Morning. So who's ready for vacation? It's supposed to be Christmas vacation, holiday break. We have kids at school. It doesn't feel like a vacation all the time, does it? We had a very hectic week last week. We had my in-laws staying with us. We had my brother here from Vancouver, Washington. Had several cousins here, and I didn't even get to hardly see them because we're so busy. And then I have a big family, and so we have to have Christmas at our house, at Grandma and Grandpa's house, and at Great-Grandma and Great-Grandpa's house. So it's been a crazy week. It's been a hectic week. The kids have a blast because they're opening presents from all these different people, doing all these exciting activities at everybody's house. And then yesterday, so my kids all got gift cards, you know, from different people, which whenever they open those, I'm like, oh, great, now I got to take them shopping. So that's what we did yesterday. We had gift cards to Hobby Lobby and to Target and to Barnes & Noble. Stephanie was working, so in the 40-mile-an-hour winds, I ran the kids all over the north side. And if you haven't shopped with five kids, it's always an adventure. We bought art supplies, we bought Legos, we bought a little makeover kit for dollies. We just had a grand old time. It was lots of fun. Have you ever had that vacation where you feel like you need a vacation afterwards? It's kind of been that way. However, I got thinking, is there ever a time when you couldn't use a vacation? Has there ever been a time where you're like, I don't need a vacation, I'm doing great? We would always like a vacation. Now, I bring that up today because for several years, because of some of the health problems I was having prior leading up to my seizure that I had, I actually kind of dreaded vacations a lot of times. They were really hard. They were difficult to plan for. They were difficult to make it through. I didn't have a whole lot of energy. I had trouble kind of thinking clearly. And I didn't always feel like I was prepared for a vacation, that I was ready to go and do that. It's kind of funny. Until you feel better, sometimes you don't realize how bad you felt. If you've ever had kind of a long-term thing going on or an illness, when you get better, you're like, wow, I didn't realize how bad I was. And for me, that's really hard because for me to truly enjoy a vacation, I have to be ready. I have to be prepared. Part of it's just the way I'm built. I have steps that I have to go through. I have things that I have to have in place so that when I take off, I can have fun. I can enjoy what I'm doing. Now, whether you're a big planner or not, you have to agree that going into something completely unprepared is not much fun, especially if it's something important or some big event. To go into that not prepared is very seldom fun. Usually it's a stressful thing when we end up having to do that. Now, I bring that up today because I want to show you the most exciting, most wonderful, biggest event that any of us will ever be a part of. And today we're going to talk about being prepared for that. And so this event it shows up in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. That's where we're going to start today. I'm doing something I don't normally do. I'm doing a topical sermon where we're going to look at several different passages in the Bible today. So if you have your Bible out, get it warmed up because you're going to be all over it today. But we're going to start off in Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 13 and the biggest, greatest event that any of us will ever be a part of. Beginning in verse 11, it says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Let's pray. Father, as we come today, we come in order to be prepared. That's why we're here today. That's why we sing your praises and look into your word every Sunday. That's why we fellowship together and encourage one another. It's because we want to be prepared. We want to be prepared for the life that you have ahead of us, and especially for the life that you have for us in eternity. And so, Father, do that work in us today. Show us each how we can be prepared, what it is that we need to do in our daily lives to be ready, to be open for what you have planned for us now in the days, the years to come, and on into eternity. Father, I ask that you would speak. I'm painfully aware of the fact that I'm not worthy to be here today, to be the one who stands and speaks your word. And so, Father, I ask that your word would come through loud and clear, despite my shortcomings and my failures, that you would speak and speak to the depths of each and every one of our hearts. Bless us now with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last several weeks, we've been doing our Advent series. We've been talking about Advent. We've been talking about the first Advent, the first coming of Christ when he comes as a little baby. And throughout the last 4 weeks, I've been trying to prepare you for the second advent of Christ, when he comes in power and in glory. Now, we usually think of Advent as being over, right? Christmas is done, Advent is over. However, in the liturgical calendar of our friends, the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Catholics, it's not over yet. It culminates in the Epiphany on January 6th. And that celebrates the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, usually looking at the baptism of John the Baptist, when Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit comes down and the Father speaks. We have the whole Trinity there, and God says, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." That's the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so we're not done yet. It's not over. We have more to do and more to talk about. So today, what I want to do is I want to go back over our lessons from Advent, and I want to see how the four things that we talked about are connected, how those four things move in a progression. And we talked about each one of them separately, but today I want to see how this is a progression that sets us up for Advent for the rest of the year. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is Advent for the rest of the year. So the four things that we talked about, the four things over the last 4 weeks, I'm going to go back today and we're going to look at the promise, we're going to look at the preparation, the joy, and the adoration, and how those are not just simply ideas, but those are a progression, and a progression that should exist in our life on a daily basis and not just this time of year. And hopefully, my hope is that we'll all be prepared for where it is that we're heading. So let's begin by looking at the promise. We're given this promise in several places in Scripture. We could talk about this for a long time, but I'll point out a few to you, and the first one is in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, this is Jesus has died, resurrected, and now he's ascended into heaven. And this is where we pick up the story in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It says, "After he had said this, after Jesus said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven.'" Each year, my mom's side of the family, huge part of the family, we plan a big reunion, a big vacation in the summer. And what we do is we all get together for a week and have a family reunion. It's kind of funny because we call it Family Christmas, because we used to do it at Christmas time till everybody grew up and moved away and did different things. So now we do it in the summer. But we always have a place that we go and we spend a week together having a family reunion. And this time of year, at Christmas, we always try to make sure that we have that set in place, that we know what the date is, what the week is, and where we're going, so we can have that all set and ready to go. Now, because of this, Stephanie and I will usually start planning our vacation around this. Sometimes it means that we're just going to go to the family reunion and come home. Like, for instance, this year it's just in Westcliff. We've had it all over the parts of the country. But this year it's in Westcliff, so we'll probably just go to Westcliff and come home. I probably won't miss a Sunday or anything like that. And so then we begin to plan other vacations. Maybe we'll do some other traveling throughout the summer. But it's all based on, okay, here's the 1 week that we know is there, we know where we're going, we know it's set in place. Now we can begin to prepare and plan after that. So regardless of what it is that we decide to do, for me to be prepared and ready for it, I need to get it on the calendar early. I need to know that it's a sure thing that this is going to happen. Now, that's the incredible promise that we have in Acts 1. It's a promise that Jesus is coming back. It's something that's set in stone, that's solid. It's something that we can be sure of. Now, again, we really have this all over Scripture, but I want to share with you a couple other examples. One comes in Mark chapter 13, and these are the words of Jesus himself. In Mark chapter 13, verses 26 and 27, it says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. He will come back and he will gather the ones that belong to him." The other passage I want to look at today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." The first step in all of this is being sure of the promise. Knowing that it is set in stone. Everything I do from here on out, my planning, my looking forward to it, the culmination of this whole event, it begins with knowing that this promise is sure and true. That's the foundation. Jesus is coming back. He is coming again in power and glory, and he's going to take those that belong to him, and we're going to live with him for all eternity. That's the foundation. That's what's set in stone. And we must know this promise, and we must know that it's true without a doubt, because if we do not, we'll never properly prepare for it. And that's the next step. That's the preparation. When I'm planning something, when I'm planning, like I gave the example of vacation, I need to know that it's set in stone so that I can prepare properly. When I go on vacation, there's a few things I do to prepare. One is try to make sure that money's set aside. Otherwise, even if vacation's fun, when you get home, it's stressful, right? So you got to make sure the money's set aside to do it. I need to make sure that there's people to preach while I'm gone, if I'm going to be missing a Sunday. I need to know, me personally, I need to know what route I'm taking. I like to know exactly where we're going, where we're stopping for the night, things like that. That's how I like to plan. I need to have somebody take care of my dog while I'm gone. I'm not one of the people that likes to take my dog with me when I go places. And so we got to have somebody to house sit, somebody to take care of him. And so when I'm not sure of what we're doing or where we're going on vacation, I don't take the time to prepare. And if I don't take the time to prepare, then as we leave, it's stressful. It's not joyful. It's not something that I'm enjoying. Being sure of the promise of Christ's return is what leads us. It's what motivates us to prepare. I want to share with you from the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 through 14. 9 through 14, sorry. It says, "The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness, as you wait for the day of God and hasten its coming. Because of that day, the heavens will be dissolved with fire, and the elements will melt with heat. But based on his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in his sight, at peace." You want to be prepared. You want to be prepared. Have you ever been caught doing something you shouldn't be doing? If you knew someone was coming, would you be doing it? No, you were unprepared. you're unprepared. One of the funniest examples is with my dog. My dog, I make him behave in the house. He can be as crazy as he wants to in our half an acre backyard. He can run, and when he comes in the house, I want him to settle down. I like him jumping on people and freaking out, and he knows that. So anyway, one day my dad was over, and he got wrestling around with the dog. And they're wrestling, and the dog's jumping around and kind of doing that play growl and all these things, and dad's wrestling with him. And I was in the kitchen. I come around the corner to the living room, and he sees me, and his ears go down, and he slinks away. He's like, oh, I'm in trouble now. Actually, dad was in trouble, not him. It was his fault. And other times, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, if you have a dog, I'll walk into a room, and his ears will go down, and he slinks away, and the first thing you do is begin to look around, right? What did he do? If he had known I was coming, he wouldn't have been doing whatever it was that he's supposed to be doing. And how does verse 9 in our passage in 2 Peter tell us how we should prepare? How should we be prepared for the coming? Repent. Repent. I know I've told you guys this 100 times, but repent means to turn around and head the other direction. The way that we're prepared for the coming of Christ is that we should be moving in the opposite direction of the rest of the world, in righteousness and holiness, set apart from what it is that our world is doing. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "But you, brother, do not grow weary in doing good." Don't give up on that. Persevere. We must be prepared for the return of Christ. Because if we're not, we're never going to look forward to it with joy. We're never going to have the joy in this life that we're supposed to have. So let's talk about that next. As I've already said, I'm a planner. When I'm going to look forward to a vacation, I know I need to know that I'm prepared for it and I'm ready. And when I'm not prepared, I dread it. That's why I've not had, as I shared earlier, excitement about vacations in years past. Part of it was just being foggy, not remembering things, not being able to think clearly. And because of that, I never felt like I was ready, like I was ready to go, like I was prepared. Now, being prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ allows us to look forward to it. It allows us to be excited as we walk through this world. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20 says, Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have seen in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many have lived as enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have to probably pull out specific examples today, but their glory is in their shame. We've probably all seen examples in the world today of those who celebrate shameful things, right? Celebrate evil things. Their glory is in their shame, but we move in the opposite direction of that. We live a life different from that. We live a life where we eagerly await. We are joyfully looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. This is actually the opposite example of being caught in the act. This is being caught in the good act. This is being caught in the right place, doing the right thing. I love it when one of my kids is working away on some good project in their room. Sometimes it's cleaning their room. With Nathaniel, he likes to build stuff, you know, whether it's out of his Legos or his cars or whatever it is. And he'll be up there working away in his room. And why is he doing that? He wants me to come see it. In fact, sometimes, you know, I have to do the whole, close your eyes, Dad, don't open them till I say so. He's there, he's doing something by himself, but in joyful anticipation that my dad's going to see this. I'm going to show this to my dad. That's the picture. That's the life that we live in, that eagerly, we eagerly wait for him. We look forward joyfully to his coming because we've been preparing for this moment our whole lives. That's the life we've been living. Now, I want to show you a great parable of Jesus that explains exactly what we're talking about today. Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus shares a famous parable. I know we probably heard it today, but I hope we can see it in light of what we're talking about and just the incredible contrast that takes place in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at verses 14 through 25. Jesus says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately, the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy.' The man with 2 talents also approached. He said, 'Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy.' The man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, 'Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you have not scattered. See, I was afraid, and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, have what is yours.'" Which one of the servants do you think was looking forward to the return of the master? Which one of the servants was excited for his master to come back? I know I've shared this with you before, and I have to remind myself of this quite often. As I walk on this earth, as I fulfill the ministry, the purpose that God has given me, I don't need tons of recognition. I don't need to have the biggest church in my city. I don't need to write books that people read. When I stand in glory, there's crowns in the Bible. I don't know exactly what all of them are. People have written lots of books. I don't know if they're right or wrong, but I don't need a crown. You know, the one thing I want when I stand before Christ is a "well done, good and faithful servant. Shane, here's what I've given you while you were on earth, and here's what you've done with it. Well done, good and faithful servant." That's a joyful anticipation of standing before my King, my Savior. Which one of the servants was afraid? Which one of the servants dreaded the return of the master? We must be looking forward to Christ's return with joy. We must be looking forward to it with joy so that when he comes, we can live in adoration of him. And that's the final thing that we need to talk about today. The great thing when you go on vacation is when you've set a date, you've gotten all prepared, you've looked forward to it, and you can't wait to go. And then that moment comes where you realize that you're enjoying the fruit of all your work, right? That you set it in place, you prepared with all the preparation you needed to do, you've been excited all year, and then you have, I don't know if you had this, but you have that moment where you go, "This is it. This is it. This is what we were looking forward to." I had a moment like that when I was on my sabbatical about 3.5 years ago. Took the summer off, planned a lot of travel with my family, and one of our big trips was all the way to the West Coast and up the West Coast and back through the Pacific Northwest and back home, and it was a huge trip. And because at that time I wasn't feeling real great, but I have a very vivid memory of one of those moments where I said, "Okay, this is what we were looking forward to." And I actually brought a couple videos. I want to show this to you, okay? The first one I want to show, I want you to look in the video for some people. There's some people standing there, and I want you to look for them for perspective. So let me show that first video. That's Silver Falls State Park in Oregon. And I don't know if you can tell from the video, but there's this huge rock outcropping, and the hiking trail goes way down underneath it. And off the top of that rock is this huge waterfall. There's a ton of waterfalls there, and it's down in this, I don't know what you call it. I don't know if you call it a canyon or not, but it's down in this area that all these waterfalls are falling in, and it's like, it's almost like a tropical rainforest. It's just amazing down in there. I want to show you another video. That was the moment, standing right there on that edge, we had stopped underneath a waterfall to have lunch. And so I'm there with Stephanie and our kids. I'm with my grandma and grandpa, which made it even more awesome. My brother's there, who I don't get to see very often. And so we're having lunch under this waterfall with these people I love. And that's one of those moments where I went, this is it. This is what we planned for. This is what we've been looking forward to. This is that moment. That's why we're here. Joyful anticipation will find its fulfillment in pure adoration of our Savior. I want to share something with you from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hand, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands form the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Do you see the joyful anticipation and how it leads? It culminates in that powerful worship, that adoration of our Savior. I want to remind you where we started today. Romans chapter 5. I want to once again look at that picture. This is where we're heading. This is where we're going. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Don't you want to be ready for that day? It is coming. We need to prepare as we walk on this earth so that we can look forward in joyful anticipation of the day that we, along with all the angels and all the creation, adore our Savior in eternity. So how do we do that today? How do we do that in this coming year? The first thing I want to say is for anyone here today, any unbeliever among us, any who has seen this as just a story and never accepted this truth, Jesus is coming back in power and glory. Believe it. And because it's so, be prepared. Just like we talked about in 2 Peter, we're prepared by repenting, turning from your sins, coming to Christ. Outside of Christ, each one of us has earned death and condemnation. But we come to Christ because of his death and his resurrection. We can be forgiven and we can have new life. That is the beginning. That's step one of being prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. Then we get to live every day with joyful anticipation of his return instead of living a life in fear of death. We're living a life in fear of being separated from God for all eternity. We have a word for that. It's called hell. You don't want to live a life in fear. Then and only then you get to experience that true, pure worship and adoration that we get to participate in with all the angels for all eternity. Next Sunday, we're having a baptism service. I can't think of a better time to accept this truth, to understand the promise of God that Christ is returning, to be prepared for that through being forgiven of your sin and beginning a relationship with Jesus, and then looking forward to the day that you get to worship for all eternity, to adore our Savior. So talk with me today, this week. Give me a call. Give me an email. Stop me after service today. But what a great time. What a way to start off 2020, right? The first Sunday of the year. And I know we have some too who, you've accepted this truth, you've come to Christ, you've been forgiven of your sins, you are living in a relationship with Him, but for whatever reason, maybe it's a fear, maybe it's just a church tradition that you grew up in, you've never had the opportunity or you've never accepted the invitation to be baptized. Baptized by immersion, to be able to go under the water and come back out, symbolizing that we have died and been resurrected with Christ, that that old sinful person is gone and a new person lives now. It's so important to have that tangible example of that truth that's already taken place in your heart. What a great way to start off this year. What a great way to start off 2020, by standing before your brothers and sisters and saying, this is what's taking place in my heart. I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. Again, talk to me today. Next Sunday, we are doing that. There's no huge special thing you got to do. You just need to come. We just need to talk, and you just need to be up there with me on Sunday. That's happening next Sunday. What a great opportunity. What a way to start off the year. I'm excited for our church to start off the year that way. And to my brothers and sisters today, I have one more passage. One last thing that I want to share with you. It comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily, while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ, if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. Keep these things before you always. Our Savior will return. Be prepared for His second coming. Look forward to it with great joy and anticipation, and remind one another daily that we will adore and worship Him for all eternity in a place where there will never again be any weeping, any sorrow, any pain, any death. Remind each other daily that we will worship and adore Him in a place where the only tears that will ever be shed are tears of adoration and joy for the one who has saved us." Amen.